Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The Tilted Landshark podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. Bet $50 at WynnBET and get $200 in free bets. Bet big, win bigger with WynnBET. Download the WynnBET app now or visit wynnbet.com and start winning today. We're also brought to you by Sleeper. You already play a fantasy on Sleeper, but now you can win cold, hard cash with their over-under game. Just head to sleeper.com/SGP on your phone to join the SGPN group, and Sleeper will automatically match your first deposit up to $100. That's sleeper.com/SGP. And make sure to download the SGPN app, your home for all of our free picks and podcasts. Welcome, everybody, to the Tilted Landshark Podcast. Not the only AUDL gambling podcast, but we maintain the best AUDL gambling podcast out there. I'm one of your hosts, Chase Sessoms, the Wolf of Oaklawn, joined by Zach.
Come on.
Still I got nothing, man. You're a hard man to nickname. Zach Avello.
It was a hot 2 weeks. And hey, I get it. There's not a lot that works with Avello.
Shot my wad early, apparently. Zach, hard to nickname Avello. How about that there one? There we go. How's your weekend, man?
It was all right. It was a eventful Saturday, followed by a very relaxing Sunday. Saturday night, got to watch my Miami Heat take one on the road in Boston.
Got
to play a little bit of golf first time this summer. Made it through that.
What'd you shoot? But,
yeah, we're not going to talk about that. Let's just say I outscored the Boston Celtics. So
there you go. That's what I'm talking about. Get out there and hack it up, my man.
That's it. I'm just having a good time. That's all.
I'm still tired.
You're still tired. Yeah, you had a pretty big weekend yourself, didn't you?
It's pretty good. Yeah, I managed
Real quick, for all the listeners listening right now who didn't know this, Chase, your birthday was Sunday.
It was. My birthday was Sunday. I'm a 37-year-old. You. Thank you. 37-year-old man now. I feel like I'm 85.
You look 24. Yeah. I'm going to throw that out there.
You lie, but thank you.
I'm trying to help you out here.
But yeah, birthday on Sunday, and Saturday was the old Preakness Stakes, and I did kind of all right, you know.
Come out on top at least a little bit of green.
Oh yeah, I absolutely hammered the Preakness. Like for lack of better terms, fucked it up one side and down the other pretty much. I was winner, exacta, trifecta. I went whole enchilada on that thing. I would have hit the super high five if I bet that, but I didn't. Because I'm smart.
Intelligent betting.
That's right.
You can only go so far.
That's right. So, no, it was a good Preakness. It was nice to get his Freakness out for another week. But he's retired now until Preakness time next year. But
Until next year. Is Churchill Downs? No, that's Kentucky Derby. What's the Piedmont is the next one?
The Belmont.
Belmont. Piedmont. Yeah. Belmont.
The Belmont at Belmont, of course. It's the true test of a champion, a mile and a half It's the longest a lot of these horses will go in their careers. It's a pretty good race. I think it's going to be wide open again. I'm looking forward to it. But back
Tilted
to the
Tilted Landshark. Yeah, I was about to say Tilted Landshark podcast where we talk horse racing and basketball, and maybe some ultimate.
That's right. It's we had a great weekend of AUDL week four.
Yes, we did.
I want to say when it came to our bets for this week, we both came out positive on top. However, we've got something more important to talk about before we get into our breakdown of the games. We've got ourselves a little interview. We got someone joining us. Zach, I believe he was one of your teammates.
He was a college teammate, a pro teammate. He helped me get my career kickstarted in the AUDL. He was a leader on the Nashville Night Watch. And a leader on the Atlanta Hustle when I was trying out for them, kind of pushed me over the edge to go ahead and play pro for those teams. So he's a big help in my ultimate career, someone I could call a good friend, Paul Lally.
All right. Looking forward to having Paul Lally on. Man, this is going to be it's so exciting. Listen, folks, we have the access. We can bring the people in. You just let us know who you want to talk to. It doesn't even have to be AUDL. I mean, even in the world of politics. You want Joe Biden on here? We'll make it happen.
We'll talk.
We'll see.
We can talk about anything.
Yeah, it might be pre-recorded.
Bill Nye on here one day. How's that?
Ooh, that is an amazing idea, and I want to go to there. Yes.
I bet he is a gambling man, too.
Yeah.
That could work.
What are we doing to Paul Lally, though? We're forgetting about him. So, yeah, we've got an interview with Paul Lally coming up, and yeah, we will be right back. We're going to hit a quick ad read. And when we return, Zach's friend, now friend of the show, Paul Lally from the San Diego Growlers. Make sure to get down on the wins. Bet $50 to win $200 promotion where a $50 bet qualifies you for up to $200 in free bets. Plus, the WynnBET Casino is offering a 100% deposit bonus up to $1,000. All users can receive a $20 free bet when they win, lose, or push a 3-plus leg build-your-own-bet parlay between Thursday and Saturday. Players can take advantage of the offer on the NBA playoffs. The match is coming to the Wynn, and you can bet on it at WynnBET. Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, minus 200, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, plus 165. There's so much to choose from, and all you have to do is download the WynnBET app or visit WynnBET.com to get started. Offer subject to change, terms and conditions at WynnBET.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where play through WynnBET is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Now, on to Sleeper. Sleeper's the fastest growing fantasy platform today with millions of players. You probably already have a fantasy league on there. I use it for mine. It's a game-changing product, unlike anything else in the industry. And now you can make money on Sleeper too by playing their new over and under game. It's super simple. First, in any sport, choose two or more players that you like and pick the over-under, for example, point totals in basketball or hit totals in baseball. Then, choose the amount of money you want to enter into the contest. If you pick correctly, you can win anywhere from 2 times to over 20 times the money you put in. It's the only app where I can join my buddies' contests and play together. It's got a built-in group chat where I can see and copy my friends' picks with the tap of a button. It's insanely fun to ride it out together. Stop what you're doing and download Sleeper now to play their over-under game. Have fun with your friends and make some money. On your mobile phone, join our listener group at Sleeper at sleeper.com/SGP. And Sleeper will automatically match your first deposit up to $100. That's right, join our squad and get the 100% deposit match at sleeper.com/SGP. And welcome back to the Tilted Landshark podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got a first for the show, a first for myself, talking to a genuine AUD, well, current. I say genuine. Zach was a professional too, but a current professional. We are talking to Paul Lally of the San Diego Growlers, who we lovingly refer to as the Big Glass Jugs of Beer. Paul, welcome to the Tilted Landshark podcast. How's it going?
Great night over here. Just got done with a little game point performance training session. Now excited to talk to the hottest new podcast on the market.
Oh, that's what we like to hear.
Flattery is going to get you everywhere, sir. Well done. So, Paul, first, I got to ask, do you have your own signature goal celebration? And if you don't, I would like to suggest one for you.
It's funny you ask, Chase. You know, I've kind of tried a few things over the last handful of years, tried some variations of kick spikes, have some handshakes, some unique ones with certain teammates. But it's recently been all about business time for me. So I'm occasionally, when you see me score, typically it's throwing goals. So you don't even see me. I'm like completely off screen, like right. by myself in a corner. But I like to straighten up the tie. That's kind of okay. Like, keep it classy, keep it professional.
Class act.
And so I'm setting up for the one down the line where I rip off the Clark Kent Superman sort of thing. But no, it's a tie. I'm keeping it tidy.
I like it. It's got a narrative to it. You know, my apex later in the year. It's actually probably better than my suggestion, which is the lollipop, where you just hold the frisbee like an old timey gigantic lollipop, and you know. You can either give it a few licks or act like you're giving it a few licks. I understand it's the time of COVID and licking things that a bunch of other people have touched might not be a good idea. So I'll let you decide how devoted you are to it or even if you want to use it.
Yeah, you know, I mean, especially in the age of the internet here, I worry that could go wrong. That could
You could be gift. Yeah, that's a good point.
That could get converted real quickly into something I don't want around the internet. But I really appreciate the insight, Chase. And It's apparent they haven't caught you on film scoring a lot of goals here, or else, you know, these kind of things go through your head.
That's good. Yeah.
I'll try it, Chase, just for you. You got to watch this stuff.
The internet and social media were really in their infancy whenever I was playing, so I didn't have those sort of concerns.
For the better.
Yeah, that's right.
For the better. But yeah, man, I think we got to let everyone know where you came from, Paul, because you do have an origins here in the South. So when and how did you get started playing Ultimate? Because you're pretty far along your career now, right?
Yeah, it's been a good while. Started playing back in 2011. Well, yeah, I guess 2011. Some summer league back in Nashville. So this was my David Trett representation here. I figured I would rock it. I got my Growler socks on, though, so keep the people and the fans out here happy. Yeah, from Nashville. So started playing a little pickup in like high school and played a summer league right before I went to college, and then got to college, and it was actually between lacrosse and Ultimate for me, for club, and met the guys on both of them. I was like, I can't play club lacrosse and pay all that money too. So Ultimate's cheap, easy, and a lot of fun. I got along with the crew out there. A guy named Richie Ward and Adam Tinker actually were the ones who saw, you know, me and John Carden trying to throw a frisbee on the IM fields, and they, you know, chatted us up, and you know, we wanted to learn how to throw like they did. So I guess, you know, over 10 years, almost 11 years later, I went through Nashville, Knoxville, Chattanooga, Atlanta, Athens, and ended up here in San Diego through a variety of teams and positions and roles. So it's been a good little ride.
Right, so you started in the AUDL in 2015 with Nashville, correct?
Correct.
So I gotta ask, how have you seen the AUDL and then also the sport kind of grow over over your time in the AUDL?
It's a great question. So first year of the AUDL in the South, at least. I mean, the AUDL has been around longer than 2015, but that was the inaugural year in the South. And it was, I don't know if the word bloodbath is the right word, but you know, a lot of new things, new players, new refs, a new league to all of us. And so it was just kind of a little bit you know, chaotic in terms of like the logistics for all these first time owners, and again, a self-officiated sport turning into an officiated sport was a big challenge. So a lot more playing around with what you could get away with, right? A lot less years under the referee's belt in the South. So things were physical, things were fun. That was my kind of game. Really enjoyed those days in the South, to where now it's evolved into just an extremely professional group, in my opinion. So all the way from the leadership to every ownership I've played on, played with, which is now four different ownership groups. I got nothing but positive things to say about all of them, even in the early years. You know, that was like back in Garrett Bruce days where it was a good time. But yeah, I mean, it's a professional group now. It's really, really unique opportunity to get to, you know, do an activity that you love at a really high level. and have a lot of support in you being able to do it. So it's a good group now. Well run league, well run team that I've been on.
So yeah. I got to ask, self-officiated versus having referees, what's your preference?
Refs all day, every day. I mean, they're going to make mistakes, but you just hope they make the same type of mistakes for each team. Right. You're just too inherently biased once you get to a high level. Spirit of the game is great. It's real. I endorse that. But there's absolutely no way you can remain in a completely unbiased situation. And speed of game, like watching self-officiated games, is a bit more of a drag than one that just moves on. They make a decision, go on. I've evolved to far preferring the ADL format.
Yeah. You mentioned a bloodbath down in the South. I remember I went to Nashville's home opener against Atlanta. And Alan LaViolette, who played for Carolina recently, or Raleigh, he was playing for Atlanta. He comes around the back of a vert stack, and David Trett, who's playing with Nashville, soon to be the owner of the Nashville Nightwatch, sees him coming unguarded and lowers his shoulder and lays him to the ground. That is my first experience of what professional ultimate was yeah. Just seeing action like that. I was like, all right.
That's when he signed up for the tryouts for next year, right? Yeah, no, so Yeah, and the great news is Alan got the 20-yard penalty on that play for launching a disc in the stand. So
he did not call anything on the layout at all.
Alan's a good dude too. I think he took a pretty bad injury recently, so I hope he's doing well. But not from Trett. Trett was just out there to be the enforcer.
He's the bro.
Yeah, but that was back in the Jacksonville Cannons days where you had the monster.
Oh, those guys were
throwing backhands in the just brutal stuff out there. So, yeah, that was the tone setter for the South, no doubt.
But, yeah, so different. I feel like depending on the region you play in, there's different styles of play. So you've been growing up through the Southeast and played in the Southeast. You moved out West. This is your third season in San Diego. Third? Second?
It's my second now.
Your second season. That's what I thought. So how have you seen the styles differ, or are they kind of just similar in your eyes?
You mean from the South and the West here?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's another great question. They are different. I mean, definitely still the South has that kind of, a little bit more physical, dirty South, a little more jolly out there. The West is, I would say, nicer guys in general, nicer guys and girls on this, in these communities. It's a little bit less of, I think in the South, you get a little bit of that football, basketball carryover, which isn't quite as prevalent out here. So you get some more of the mainstream sport influences come to those things. So definitely, battling the teams like Dallas. Of course, I came here when they were the Roughnecks, and they followed me. And so I got to play them for however many years in a row. They were always a pretty physical matchup. And defenses is – there are a lot of phenomenal defenders and great defensive teams out here. But overall, defensive pressure, it really is kind of a West Coast style thing where the offenses are a little more high flying, a little bit more, kind of potent feeling. And then the defenses are a little tougher in the South. So kind of holds that mantra of, the South is kind of, 3 yards in a cloud of dust sort of thing. So, you get into those games no matter where you are. You find those players no matter where you are. It's just kind of the general trend.
It seems like what I've noticed whenever I'm watching games that are from that West Division, I feel like I see a lot more like vert stack as opposed to like a horizontal stack that it seems like a lot of the teams in the South play. Was there any sort of big change for you coming from the South, going maybe switching into a different offensive style or defensive style or anything?
Yes. I mean, and definitely too, I think some of that continues to stem from, you have like the classic team, like the Seattle small ball style system. You have even back like in some of like the Bay Area, like Revolver and some of the old club teams that had a little bit more of the spread style offense. So there's a kind of a unique blend out here. Definitely with Growlers last year, we would initiate out of a vert a lot of times, playing mostly offensive and then kind of flow into that vert. I've always been more comfortable handling in a vertical stack. I mean, running that system with, Miranda for 2 to 3 years in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. You know, that's, I always felt more comfortable handling in a vertical offense where you could kind of, you know, you're relying on cracking marks, you're relying on a lot of lateral movement and cutters, just being ready for that next look. And so it was a comfortable transition for me. Especially like, you know, I've played on so many dang teams at this point. So I feel like you've seen every little system. But when I came here, you know, Kevin Stewart and Coach Kayla Helden, they were like, everyone kept asking me like, what ideas? Like I'm more of a cutter, like a little bit like hybrid, but like I cut generally speaking, sometimes handle defensively around the end zones. Like first practice, they were like center to Paul. And I was like, all right.
Yeah.
So it was a really good experience. They were like by far the most like defined, like here's your role, here's what we want you to do, here's what we need you to do. And so using that, like I got so comfortable so quickly in our system. It was just it was a breath of fresh air. I play in a lot of different roles. I guess I'm not like that good at any one thing. So they keep trying to hide me in certain roles. So it's been a little bit of an adjustment, but now this year we're running a little bit more on the spread side of things in San Diego, depending on which side of the ball, depending on a game's personnel. So definitely when I'm downfield, I like that spread system. When I'm in the backfield, I still love me some good vertical stack.
There we go. Yeah, it's been pretty neat because I think you and I, we've always played on opposite sides of the disc. I was more of a offensive cutter working off other cutters. You've always ran the D line, but then getting to see you move to San Diego, you're behind the disc a lot in the offensive end. I think you're one of the leaders on the growlers for throwing yards this year. Highly efficient. It's been pretty neat to kind of see you transition into that new role. Yeah, man, I want to ask you a quick question. I don't think I've ever asked you this on a personal level, but like, you've played lacrosse growing up. I don't know what else you played, but did you ever have like any sort of role model in one ultimate, and two, did you have a role model in any other sport growing up?
Yeah, love that question too. Yeah, I mean, I bounced around just like the teams in ultimate. I played quite a variety of sports growing up. And so, you know, but in terms of what I was following, it was like vastly the NFL. Loved, grew up a massive Titans fan. So really naturally, my guys, my idols of the day, it was like your like Air McNair, Eddie George, you know, mm-hmm. Keith Bullock, kind of like the rough and tough, physical, even if you're, you know, McNair's a quarterback, right? But he's still going to lower his shoulder and go after you. And even in the recent years, I continue to, you know, really be a big fan of the Titans organization. I've always liked, in terms of other sports, you know, I've gotten into golf over the last few years, but even before that, it's like a guy that transcends whether you watch golf or not is Tiger. Just how he kind of revolutionized the game. Came in, you know, proved that, you know, working out is a part of the game and belongs there. And when you hit the ball 30 yards further, you're a better player, right? And I think that's one of the shifts that's happening in the world of ultimate as well, from this sport that's a little bit less trained, a little bit less organized, into something where if you're not in the gym, if you're not really actively conditioning it, like it, you get exposed on a field. So
me chain smoking Camel Lights on the sideline probably won't fly anymore is what you're telling me.
I mean, I say that, but then you look at John Daly over there, and he's, you know, he's still smacking balls with the best of them. So,
hey, the NIL deal of the year.
As an Arkansan, I appreciate you bringing up Arkansas royalty with John Daly, sir. So we've hit you with a bunch of softballs here, but now we are going to give you the hardest hitting question that we've had, which is, who's your favorite team you've played for, and who's partied harder? Was it the Night Watch, the Hustle, the Growlers? And I'm going to warn you, I am biased. There is one correct answer to this.
I love the game. I love the hustle, man.
Oh, man. I've also played on, you know, I played on the Night Watch for 3 different years and the Hustle for 2 different years and the Growlers for 2 different years now. So, I mean, I could get specific as to which iteration of which team party the hardest. I mean, definitely, again, you know, I got to go My boys are great here. I love this team. I love this culture. But if you're talking like weird dudes throwing down a party, like the South kind of takes king, right? Like Atlanta's like the weirdest of them all for sure. The most personalities, the most eclectic nature. I would say, what was that year, Zach? David Tratt's first year on a night.
Well, the 3-14, that was 2017.
3-11, yeah.
That was the last year.
That group, they made a business on and off the field. So we were going down to, down to Tampa, and you know, Trent's just throwing money at you if you win a game, saying go spend it in the club, you know, whatever. the van rides back were just as, just as live as as the party the night before or whatever. So, great groups in all the different corners there, but that like 2018 Night Watch squad, still a bunch of, that team has a bunch of trickle, a lot of different teams all the way from Portland, Atlanta, in Florida,
Indianapolis.
San Diego, Indianapolis. Like, and so I hope that all those guys are kind of holding down that tradition and maintaining the that style.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice. Well, Paul, we're going to get out of here. We got some games to recap from this past weekend, which, by the way, congratulations on the victory. The Growlers get the job done, 22-20 against the Seattle Cascades. It was a it was a good win. It was a good win. You're keeping track with what some pretty talented new franchises, it looks like. So, you got to represent for the old guard, right?
Right, man. This is not the they're not the expansion teams I really expected. You know, you come up with anything, but these teams are great. It's an open division right now, and we can't underestimate anyone. We got to learn how to finish games with a little bit more definition than we are right now. But we're putting in the work and looking forward to a late season battle here. I think the this division's an open one, and we plan to make it ours again.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us, folks. That was Paul Lally, the San Diego Growlers. If you see any video of him licking a Frisbee later on, please do not GIF it, because I want to make this celebration a reality. Paul, thanks again. And welcome to a friend of the Tilted Landshark podcast status.
Appreciate it, man.
Thanks so much, guys. It's basically royalty. I appreciate y'all.
Way to go with the flattery. You were killing it there, Paul. All right. Thanks, Paul. We will talk to you later. And Zach and I will be back right after these quick ad reads. Sweaty Sack summer is approaching. It's time for you to prioritize the comfort of your crotch. That's why the kings of crotch comfort, Manscaped, have spent 2 years designing the most comfortable boxers briefs out there. I've had the honor of testing out these new boxers. I can say it's the softest fabric of any underwear. So breathable that it's like gills for your groin. They even trademarked the jewel pouch, so you know it's serious. I think it's time you invest in your family jewels, so let your bulge breathe and get 20% off plus free shipping by using code SGP at manscaped.com. Listen, I'm not kidding. I've got the boxers. You want to talk about comfort? You want to talk about resting easy because the family jewels are safe? Then you got to put them in the old jewel pouch. So get 20% off plus free shipping with the code SGP at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code SGP at manscaped.com. Once the boxers 2.0 touch your sack, you'll never go back. We're brought to you by Athletic Greens and their AG1 supplement. So what is this stuff? With one delicious scoop of AG1, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help start your day off right. This special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, aging, all of the things. It costs you less than $3 a day, and you're investing in your health, and it's cheaper than your cold brew habit. AG1 supports better sleep quality and recovery, and Athletic Greens has over 7,000 five-star reviews. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/SGP. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/SGP to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance.
Did you know that browsing online using incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? That's right, without added security, you might as well give away all your private data to hackers, advertisers, your ISP, and other prying eyes. That's why I use IPVanish VPN to make it easy to stay truly private and secure on the internet. IPVanish helps you safely browse the internet by encrypting 100% of your data. This means that your private details, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be completely shielded from falling into the wrong hands. Even your physical location will be hidden. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. It's that simple. You can use IPVanish on unlimited devices without sacrificing on speed. Your computers, tablets, phones, even devices like your Fire Stick when you're streaming media. Whether I'm at home or in public, I don't go online anymore without using IPVanish. IPVanish is offering an incredible 70% off their yearly plan for our listeners with a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's just like getting 9 months for free. IPVanish is super easy to use. All you have to do is tap one button and you're instantly protected. You don't even know it's on. Stop sharing with the world everything you stream, everything you search for, and everything you buy. Take your privacy back today with the brand rated 4.6 out of 5 on Trustpilot. So go to ipvanish.com/SGP and use promotional code SGP and claim your 70% savings. That's ipvanish.com/SGP. Welcome back to the Tilted Landshark podcast. Once again, many, many thanks to Paul Lally of the AUDL, of the San Diego Growlers, actually coming in, giving us an interview. Really good interview, I got to say. I'm going to give it a 10. What about you, Zach?
Yeah, easy 10 out of 10. Easy, we set the standard way too damn high for our first interview.
Yeah, if you're going to be joining us, you need to step it up like Lally did.
Yeah.
But we are going to go ahead and do what we typically do. After that little bonus treat we gave you, we're going to talk about this past weekend's games, week four of the AUDL, see how these matchups went, and maybe take a peek in at how our old picks did, too, while we're at it. So,
why not?
Starting off, we got Toronto at Boston. Oh, how briefly did the crossing borders angle work? I believe this is the last game of the sequence, as Boston gets the win, 23-13, and... Mm-hmm. Boston covers the 2.5.
Easily.
Yeah, very easily. Big win. Big, big win.
Yeah. Toronto was held out of their element. Boston understood that Toronto likes to huck the disc. Toronto only got 5 huck attempts off and over 300 throws, which is by far the most amount of throws they had to throw in a game. They had to play small ball, slow ultimate. Obviously was very uncomfortable with it. And Boston's defense, which is a defense I kind of ridiculed for never stepping up and forcing their offense to keep holding, they stepped up this time behind Cam Warner and Eugene Lajiro, I think is the guy's name. 2 blocks apiece. Boston's defense won in this game, so kudos to them. Big win.
Yeah, and not to mention, with the under, we hit one of our locks for last week, which was the under 45.5.
Pay that man his money.
That's right. You tell him, Teddy KGB. Give us our money. Next, we got Austin, who traveled to Carolina to take on the Flyers. And it looks like Carolina managed to pull it out 27-24. They covered the 1.5-point spread. I, for some reason, was on Austin, which just feels counterintuitive to my whole personality. But I made that decision. I even went money line. It was a poor decision. Zach chose wisely.
I chose Kate. And I think right before the game started, some injury announcements. They've missed some players. Anders Jungsu was all rookie AADL last year, looking like an all AADL player this year. His scene with a little leg splint cast on, not in a cast. But yeah, this was actually a pretty close game for the most part. I tuned in. And right when I tuned in, I got to see a Justin Allen Callahan for Carolina that puts Raleigh up 3, kind of a 2-point swing there. Austin couldn't hold. Raleigh gets the break and goes up big late in the game. So that was the big game changer, was that Callahan right there.
So moving on, we need to talk about some true American heroes.
Yes.
And those true American heroes are the Philadelphia Phoenix, who go across the border to Montreal, and they get the win 19-13, proving to all of us that
Borders are nothing but an invisible line. Nothing changes. Still planet Earth. Big victory for Philly. Let's see. That was a Philly was a 1.5 point favorite. They don't quite cover that. We were both on the Ottawa side, I believe, because we were still playing the
At Philly Montreal.
Ah, sorry. We were both on the Montreal side, and it was a pick 'em, and that did not go well for us. We are not good Americans. We should have taken Philly here, but yeah. After the game that they had in Philly, I don't know. I didn't think that Philadelphia would have this easy of a time dispatching Montreal.
I never like to make injuries an excuse. I'm not going to do it here. I think Philly played a hell of a game, holding Montreal to nearly nothing the entire game. So I'm not going to take that away from Philly. Montreal was missing some key pieces, but I've got a fan favorite, personal favorite on Philadelphia, James Pollard. You'll hear about him again in the Ottawa recap. He is 4 goals, 3 assists against Montreal. Their offense held together. Second quarter, 5-1 run to kind of pull away early in the game for Philadelphia.
All right. So the game that we just the guy that we just had was in on this game. San Diego beats Seattle 22-20. They had a huge spread here. The Lollipop Guild did not cover the number. It was 7.5, but we both were on the Seattle side of that number because it just looked like way, way too damn big of a number.
Yeah. That Seattle team was actually pretty fun to watch. They, Zhao, and they had this other big guy who just all they would do is huck. They actually went 13 for 13 on hucks, Seattle. That's how they stayed in it. And it was kind of like, I watched this game last night when I got home, and it was kind of some lazy throwing, mostly on both ends, throwing straight into Poches, not realizing the field, kind of playing lackadaisical ultimate. It's kind of what caused the game to be so close, why San Diego was only able to win by 2 points. But again, Seattle doesn't have any defensive depth, so just San Diego outclassed them. Better talent.
So we take it back to the east side where we had Toronto visiting New York, and oh boy, we'll just call this come get your ass whooping bowl because New York absolutely put it on Toronto, winning 31-17, a 14-point victory. We thought 7.5 was a huge number to cover. So what did they do? Damn near doubled it on us. I mean, hard to take away a lot from this one, I'm sure.
It was a damn near flawless game from New York. I think only 10 turnovers. I went through the stat line earlier today, and I saw Lithia's name pop up with the number 5 next to us. Oh, 5 goals for him. No, he's on the throwing end of it this time. He gets 5 assists and 3 goals. He is turning out to be an all-AEDL type player, if only if it wasn't for Yacht, who had 8 goals that night. Crazy night by Yacht. Marquise Brownlee for New York, for those who are on YouTube, likes tech reviews, MKBHD. Very famous YouTuber, plays for the New York Empire, led the game in 3 blocks. And yeah, Toronto had no answer for New York's offense. It was just New York just had their way with them.
All right. And back to the West Coast where we had Portland Nitros traveling to the Oakland Spiders. Hey, oh, hey, hey.
Oh,
hey,
whoa. Hey, whoa. Easy. Hey. Easy with that Nitro.
Well, the Nitro were not easy with it. They win it 26-22, 4-point victory. And it looks like in that game, we had Portland as the 2.5-point favorite. They easily cover. And also, we hit the over there, which was set at 42.5. Oh, man. So, I want to say, when I'm thinking about it, in the West, the only team that one of the expansion teams has lost to is another expansion team. They've Portland losing to Colorado. That was the only loss that any of the expansion teams have had so far.
And that was a double overtime game, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's insane.
It's very insane. And Leandro Marks for Portland is the real deal. Yeah, we haven't seen much from Oakland yet this year. I think 2.5 was way too small. Portland whether it's Salt Lake or like right now, my power rankings in the West for the three new teams, Salt Lake, Portland, Colorado, even though Colorado beat Portland, I think this Portland team is solid. I like Leandro Marks a lot. 2.5 was too small for this spot.
All right. And then a game I was really happy about, Seattle at LA in the second half of Seattle's back to back. LA gets the victory by 119-118. I was all in on this total here, which I believe we had was set at 39.5. We managed to hit the under there, which is good for me. Yeah, man, just second day legs is kind of what I think of when I see this total.
Yeah, and I've got, once we wrap up all the games here, I did some math, doing some research. I've got a nice little trend for our listeners if they want to follow suit with us. We'll get to it at the end of the show, but Seattle. Seattle lost some depth. Zeppelin Ronig was not dressed for this game. I think he kind of came up limping towards the end of that San Diego game. And there's probably a special player there you may want to shout out, because last week I talked about how it was only Sam Cook on LA and someone else better step up. And someone did. Who was that?
My boy Marcel Osborne responded to the call and had himself just a bonkers weekend.
Hey, I've got something for you real quick. Let me pull this up. Scrolling through some Ultimate Twitter. And one of his teammates. Oh, no. Okay, I screenshot the wrong thing. He got a shout out from one of his teammates talking about how far he's progressed over the last few years playing Ultimate and how he's becoming more of a leader on this LA Aviators team. So,
listen, kudos to you, Chase. It only took 5 minutes because I had that sharp eye for talent.
He's if there's anyone looking for a scout of some sort, you could pay for his travel. I heard Japan's got some great Ultimate players. Send him over there.
Travel over there. Yeah, I'll go to Japan to scout Ultimate players. Sure. Hell yeah. That sounds like the plot of a movie. I'm in for it. All right. So we had three marquee games from last week. We're breaking those down right now. One of them was the Austin Shed of Lux, the Soul, traveling to Atlanta to take on the Hustle.
I love the game. I love the Hustle, man.
And I'll tell you what, loving the Hustle paid off, because this game was a pick 'em. Atlanta gets the 5-point victory over Austin. Austin, once again, in the second game of a back-to-back. So, What can you take away from this victory? Do you downgrade the Atlanta victory a little bit because Austin was on their second game, or is it just a good victory? No caveats needed.
I call this a good victory. The big question I'm going to raise here, and this may not be something we get to prove ever this whole season, but is Austin a fraudulent team? It's two wins were against a pretty bad Dallas team.
Yeah.
And then they go to the road. Granted, they had a good game against Raleigh, but Carolina, sorry, they were missing some players. And then they go into a game against Atlanta, who was nearly at full squad. They didn't even have Khalif playing, Khalif al-Salam on the defensive end. But, yeah, the question is Austin fraudulent? We'll see when Atlanta and Carolina have to travel over there. But I would say the big storyline here is – the offensive handlers for Atlanta, Austin Taylor with 11 assists, John Stubbs and Bobby Lay combined 11 of 14 from Hux. You've got already a top AEDL thrower in Austin Taylor, and then you add two world-level handlers on the offensive end in Bobby Lay and John Stubbs. I want to see those three handle, and I want to see them again play against Carolina, because there's a chance. They got to play them two more times. Austin, I mean, Atlanta, they could make some noise and probably win out those games. That this lineup here, I want to see them play against Carolina for sure.
All right, so moving on, we had Indy leaving Dome Sweet Dome to take on Pittsburgh and get the job done 20-16. It looks like Indy easily covers the 3-point spread, and they go over on the total, which was set at 36.5. Fooled me, because I kind of thought that it wouldn't be quite the easy. I thought it would be, you know, kind of a little bit different with the scoring, whenever you consider the fact that they moved outside of the dome and everything. And man, did they barely miss going over there. Let's see. I'm trying to look at what did we have here. I had did we both have the over?
We both said over. At least I know why I said over. 36 and a half, which is tough.
Heartbreaker.
Yeah. I think I was the only one that said over. I even freaking had Pitt in this game.
Right. Do we think that maybe Indy might be a little bit of a contender in the Central, that they managed to the Midwest, maybe they can take their game outside of the dome and it can survive in the wild?
You know, that would be very interesting to see. As we know, Pitt is one of the lesser teams in that division. Unfortunately, next week we really won't be able to find out because they travel to Detroit also. Pitt just finds a way to make a game not look fun. They kind of slow everything down. What's their record over under? Pittsburgh is now 0-4. They're 4-unders, 4 games, 0-4 on the over-unders. They really slow things down. So it's kind of hard to tell if really Indy's not a great outdoor team or not yet. They'll play Detroit next week. They'll probably be 8.5-point favorites. May go ahead and try to pick Indy on that. But I want to wait and see until they have to travel to Chicago, travel to Madison for maybe a little rematch there and see what they can do before I determine if they could be in the mix or not.
Well, you bring up a team that was in our last marquee game. I hate to tell you, Mechanics fans, Mechanics with an X, but the streak continues as Madison rolls into Detroit. And they didn't deliver the ass-whipping of the week, but they delivered the second biggest ass-whipping of the week as it went 27-18 for Madison. Oh, man. Oh, man. Boy.
51 straight losses.
Yep. And I want to say I was on the under here, and that also not great for me. I didn't have a banner weekend. Zach did. I did not.
Dude, record will say otherwise. Here, let's just real quick. I have one nugget for Detroit that I found interesting as I lost my notes here. Shorgen, who led the league in goals last year, right now he's the only player over 10 goals with negative throwing yards. That kind of tells you the type of player he is.
Yeah.
If I can't find a way to stop it, that's the only source of offense. Still the only guy with negative throwing yards. Oh, but yeah, to recap how we did, I went 7-4 ATS. You went 5-4 ATS. I don't think I capture all of your picks. I don't know. Maybe I'm just overwhelmed. And then I went 3-2 over under while you went 3-1 on the over under.
Hold on. Take a breath, buddy. Breathe. Breathe. We'll get through this together. We'll get through this. You can lean on me. I'll lean on you. We're like Forrest and Bubba. You know what I'm saying? We don't have to sleep with our heads in the mud. So that is it. That is recapping our AUDL games. We were going to get out of here, but wait, we've got a special little bit of a math and tabulation by Zach here. You mentioned that he's going to bring up. I'm interested. What do we have?
I was looking at today's stats. I've noticed we had 3 teams go on road trips in Austin, Philly, and Toronto. And those teams did terrible against the spread. Philly went 2-0 on the road straight up, but went 1-1 ATS. The other teams did not do so well. If you look at every team's against the spread record on their second half of a back-to-back, 3-8 against the spread, 4-7 money line. And then you got a 6-5 over under record, which could account just for tired defenses. The other team is going to run up the score. But 3-8 against the spread. I've got one bit of bad news for this, though. I think I'm going to do this blindly. We'll see. New York is that team that goes on the road trip.
Oh.
New York. So, and they're crossing the border, going to Montreal, then to Ottawa.
Ooh.
It'll be interesting to see. I would love to see New York over a 5 or 6 point favorite against Ottawa. I think I'll take Ottawa in that game.
Man, that's the sound of me licking chops there. That sounds juicy, what you just mentioned, I got to think that after the ass whooping that New York put on the team they were playing this weekend, that they're going to have some just massive spreads here. Woo! Good eyes, Zach Avello.
So we'll have to keep an eye on that. the other thing we got to keep an eye out for is Alt Fantasy Sports.
Yeah, that's getting started. We're gonna have to figure out how everything's working, and then we're gonna have to start playing some Fantasy Ultimate. That's yeah, for sure.
Thursday shows may get a tad bit longer, talking some Fantasy Ultimate at the same time. Players to watch. I'm going to have to go in and deep dive. We know the guy who put this together, so we'll talk to him.
Yeah.
Figure out the format, and we'll bring our listeners some details and information on and how to get that going.
Hell yes. That's all I got to say for that. It's hell yes. And
hell to the yes.
We thank you for tuning in once again to the Tilted Landshark podcast. We'll be back later this week. We'll be talking about the games coming up week 6. Wait, no, 5.
5.
Week Dude, 5.
Time's going too fast for you.
It's going too fast. I went even faster than I meant it to. So we'll be back talking week 5 later this week. Most likely we'll have that out before first poll on Friday. Hell, we might even be talking a little bit of fantasy too while we're at
Why
it.
Why not?
Ha ha ha. Hey, yeah. All right, so that is it for us. And as always, for myself, I got to say, hammer!